This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Don't miss your window of opportunity. Upgrade your space now during Blinds.com's anniversary sale and save up to 50% site-wide. Blinds.com. Elevate your windows with the number one online retailer of custom window treatments. Blinds.com offers hundreds of premium window treatment options. Choose from woven wood and Roman shades to blinds, motorized shades, and more. All designed to fit your budget without sacrificing quality. Blinds.com brings the showroom to you with free virtual consultations and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Our design experts can help schedule a professional measure and installation, plus guidance for DIYers too. Blinds.com has been trusted for 29 years, earning thousands of five-star reviews. Shop with confidence, knowing you'll get upfront pricing, no hidden fees, and Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. But hurry, these savings won't last. Shop Blinds.com's anniversary sale happening right now for up to 50% off site-wide. Save up to 50% site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Wednesday. Let's see, a little different today on the radio show because normally we have Sam Hardiman. Sam Hardiman has been killing it at the Daily Memphian recently, but he's busy. He's busy, Jeffrey. He's got stuff. He's got a conflict. He's being a reporter, and so he couldn't be with us today. It's been so busy in the city recently that I think we're gonna see if we can get Sam on Friday at 10:30 or something. Have Sam come on and visit with us later this week. We still got Chris Herndon straight up at 10 o'clock, and we still got John Martin in the next segment. So there you go. And in fact, because we have John Martin in the next segment, he has a column up at the Daily Memphian about Penny winning a share of his first regular season title. I think we'll largely talk about the Memphis Tiger basketball team in that segment. We'll touch on it here in the open, but I think because we have John then, and because he wrote about that and the meaning of it all, I think we'll have reserve a lot of that conversation for that spot in the show. I did want to clear a couple of things up really quick. Charles, on the way to, as I'm driving in today, he says, "Can you tell the people that he was really upset yesterday?" You remember the story about the guy who had $81 trillion deposited in his bank account.
Yeah, for like 53 minutes or whatever.
For 90 minutes.
Yeah, sorry.
For 90 minutes. He had $81 trillion deposited in his account for 90 minutes. And of course, when they make I recognize the mistake, and I don't think you have any problems with this, he doesn't get the $81 trillion, right? That's a mistake. I don't think he's entitled to the $81 trillion.
What about like just a little bit?
Well, what about just literally the interest? It was his interest rate that earned that money, right? It was not even a penny of the $81 trillion, but just the interest that it generated in those 90 minutes. Would that seem fair?
I mean, in the end, right, it's like, you know, probably somebody's money. Like, that's the problem.
If you gave him the interest generated in those 90 minutes, you would be giving him... And this is the part that Charles wanted me to clarify. He wanted me to clarify that the guy got not one red cent. And that, I don't know where the expression red cent comes from, but not one red cent. And that had he gotten the interest, he would have gotten $1.4 billion. You would have thought maybe a gift card or something, right? Something?
So the term red cent originated in the 1830s as a way to refer to a copper penny. It is now used as an informal expression to describe a small amount of money.
Huh. Well, there you go. learn something every day here on the Jeff Calkins Show. Even Jeff Calkins learns something mm-hmm. every day on the Jeff Calkins Show. So anyway, he wanted me to clarify that. Also, I got to tell you, the response to the T-shirts yesterday for the Fish on Friday on Tuesday T-shirts, overwhelming. Two people want them.
Listen, you got to start somewhere.
Two people want them.
Anyway. May not open the merch store yet, but you know what?
May not yet. Anyway, all right. So we have a lot to talk about, a lot to talk about today. And we will start with the Memphis Tigers, who, when is the appropriate celebration, Jeffrey? Is it Sunday when you beat UAB and effectively we knew what was going to happen? They were going to win the conference, release the share of the conference title. Was it last night when they formally clinched a share of the conference title? Or is it Friday, if and when they win, when they outright win the conference title?
I think last night you have the right to celebrate, because in the end, the only team that can catch you, you played them once and you beat them.
Okay, but rank this for me.
All right.
If you are a Memphis fan, when are you, in fact, celebrating more? I actually think last night's is last. I think the UAB game is a cause for greater celebration because, A, you might be worried you might lose it, at least in advance. I suppose you could have worried as last night's game played out that you might lose it. And then I think Friday night's game, home, make it official. You're home. You've won it. It's done. It's if you win, it's outright. I think that's a bigger cause for celebration. Last night was, and Gabe asked me if I was going to be fired up for this game. I told him I'm not fired up for the game. I am worried about the game, even though they're playing a bad team, because there just was an emotional hangover and bound to be over the celebration. And what did we see? That's exactly what we saw with a return.
Memphis and Auburn last night. Both teams,
Memphis teams, and Auburn
two teams
last
that celebrated
night.
This weekend.
Celebrated this weekend. Bites you in the ass. This is we saw 22 turnovers last night. We saw 22 turnovers last night. They're up. And by the way, I'm not being critical. I'm the one who has said all along that you can't fight human nature. And this is playing crappy teams. You're gonna not take them seriously. And two games after you win what passes for a big game in this conference, you're gonna have a letdown. I think human nature is kind of inevitable. And so
I think like another underrated part of it is, it's really hard to go from that atmosphere on Sunday, which was an awesome college basketball atmosphere.
Yes.
To the sleepy
high school
nothing.
Yes.
Yes.
They were up with 13:57 left in the game. They had a 13-point lead, and then they went out and committed 10 turnovers and 7 fouls in the last 12 minutes, actually, basically, roughly. And it came down to Primo Spears missing that three, and then Haggerty doing what he does, which is hit free throws.
Clutch free throws.
Yeah. And so, but I'm not going to sit here and microanalyze why they weren't at their most efficient best. What's happened with the return of the turn? No, it's like you said, it's 2 days after that game at UAB. It's a very different atmosphere. It's really hard to fight human nature. And so that's what happens. And what else happens? They win a game by 5 on the road in conference, and they drop in the net. Now, they drop in the net partly because Arkansas has the win and gets the big win, and Texas gets the big win.
Yep.
So they drop 2 spots in the net. But does anyone really think that Memphis has had that Arkansas has had a better season than Memphis?
No.
I don't think
Arkansas fans.
Right. That's the ridiculousness of it. It's on its face. It's patently ridiculous. This is a team that, by the way, scored 14 points in the first half against South Carolina.
Yes.
But because they have the opportunity to do what they then did last night, whatever. The whole thing's ridiculous. But that's what it is. That's the reality that we're dealing with. There was some news within. I mean, Dane Danger continuing to be awesome, 19-8, despite some foul trouble. Nick Jourdain continuing to be very efficient. He's been really good of late. P.J. Haggerty, he didn't shoot well from the field, 3 of 10 from the field, but 12 of 13 from the line, and including those last 6, knocked him in. That was great.
Did Penny get the whistle back?
I don't know. I don't
but
know.
Did Penny's complaining change the world?
Penny's complaining. Penny was not. When that was like, you never see Penny as worked up as he was last night.
Yeah.
Or rarely. You rarely see Penny.
This year we've not.
Yeah. And then just generally, he's not that fired up. Dante Harris could be a small issue because he goes out with the ankle injury. And Penny, according to Parth Upadhyay in the Daily Memphian, said, might not be back for a minute. So that's the word minute, which is the most flexible word in the world, right?
Particularly for Southerners.
As we've discussed. It is interesting. You say Southerners. We had this legal case up north recently. We were suing this guy who's trying to pave over this country road. And we were talking about something. And his lawyer said, you know, I was at the bank today. And the teller said, this is going to take a minute. And when they said that, I didn't think that meant literally a minute.
Mm-hmm.
So even up north, we understand that minute is a. Basically, he was trying to explain away his client who had said something they didn't mean.
Right.
Right? That was the context of it. And but yeah, a minute doesn't really mean a minute. Of course, it doesn't even mean a day or a week or a game. Might not be back for a minute. I take that to be an ominous use of a minute.
I think it's the same use as like Jaren Jackson's going to be a minute.
Yeah, Jaren Jackson's going to be a minute. So that wasn't good. But then the larger context is 25-5, 15-2, and their first conference title regular season, at least a share, under Penny Hardaway. And if we have previously, when we're talking about Memphis football, we've talked about how Mike Norvell won a conference title and Justin Fuente won a conference title. Ryan Silverfield has not, even though it was a much tougher conference way back then. We are giving Justin Fuente credit for a partial season title, right? A shared.
Correct.
It was a shared.
And I believe also he lost to the... would have been North Texas in this situation if North Texas...
It was a shared season title, yeah. So, but we're gonna give him credit for that. It is astounding that it is taken this long to win a... regular season title. And you can say, well, Houston was there, right? But it wasn't just Houston that won them. Hell, last year it wasn't Houston that won them. Houston wasn't here last year. So it's astounding that it has taken that long. And you can take that as a criticism of Penny. And there's no question that it took longer than I think anyone could have possibly imagined. You can also, I think, frame it as a compliment to his diligence and his, like, if you look back at what people were saying when he was hired, people outside the city of Memphis, that this is just an ego project for him, not really to do the hard work, AAU coach, no idea what it's about, not the next Clyde Drexler. The way that Penny has stuck to it, dug in, redefined himself again, I think it is, you finally achieve it, and I think it's a cause of real celebration, particularly when you look at how this season could have gone. That's what basically John Martin wrote about, is this cause for celebration for Penny Hardaway. I don't think we imagined that when Penny fired his coaching staff just weeks before the season began, that we would be looking at, I certainly didn't, 25-5 and 15-2. And there you are. Yes, they dropped two in the net. That's because the net is based on computers that want you to be eviscerating a team like UTSA, right? If you look at the offensive efficiency ratings or something in the net, Memphis is like in the 70s somewhere, I believe. And so it's I maintain that it's really harder to be at your most best, most efficient when you're playing a bunch of schlock teams because you don't really care. And it's what you pointed out, because the gym is empty or whatever else it is. But anyway, big accomplishment for the University of Memphis. We'll talk more about that with John Martin when he joins us. Any other thoughts about last night's championship clinching win for Memphis?
No, I just contend that this is clearly Penny's best season by far. And to me,
Clearly, yes.
I just really think it was important when you had the chaos that was surrounding this team, the fact that this has been a stable year, and the fact that, honestly, Penny started to do it more conventional way, that to me suggests that this is much more sustainable than some of the things that we've been seeing.
Yeah. We'll talk to John more about it again in the next segment. The other thing I wanted to talk about was the Memphis Grizzlies, and two things. One is they play Oklahoma City tonight. Your level of hope that the Grizzlies will win, percentage-wise?
Like five?
Yeah, maybe. Three?
I mean, it's
emotionally, I'm at zero.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, zero.
But like, it's an NBA game. Like, they're 7.5-point home underdogs. It's not like
7.5? I thought they were 9.5.
Maybe. I just looked at this morning when we came to the show.
They are. And the injury report is Morant questionable, Conchar questionable, Santi questionable, and Scottie Pippen Jr. questionable. Huff is out because of a G League assignment, and Jaren is out week to week.
Nine, you're correct, by the way.
With a grade 2 ankle sprain, week to week. With a grade 2 ankle sprain.
Are sprains like burns? I never know the number. With it being 2, obviously that's helpful. It's like, okay, well, it's the one in the middle, but is a grade 3 sprain the best one or the worst one?
Grade 1, grade 3.
Yeah. I don't know my ankle sprain grades.
Grade 2 sounds middle.
Yeah.
Sounds mid.
I mean, I'm glad that it wasn't grade 2.
It definitely sounds
could have been
mid.
Worse, could have been better.
I don't think, like, week to week, and I saw people doing the math, like, typically grade 2 ankle sprains, Grizzlies in the past have been out for 2 weeks or something like that, right? Even if he's out for the rest of this month and gets back to start of April, he'll still hit the 65 games that he needs, provided good health going forward,
right?
To be eligible for postseason awards, and therefore then to be eligible for the contract extension, the massive contract extension this summer. So that's not an issue. Playing without Jaren for the next 2 weeks is an issue. The defense has been pathetic with him. One can only imagine.
I'd like to say it's been bad with him. It's been pathetic without him.
Yes, it will be pathetic, I think, going forward without him. And so I don't have much hope for tonight. Happily, Houston lost again last night.
Indeed.
So that was at least helpful. They lost to the same Pacers team that beat the Grizzlies recently. But the Lakers beat the Pelicans. Lakers now a game and a half up on the Grizzlies. And they are a wagon at this point. LeBron with his 50,000, now hitting the cross 50,000 points. So that happened. It's a little bit of a dire time, it feels like, for the Grizzlies. I don't think there's any question about that. We discussed it all yesterday, right? A little bit of a dire time.
Yeah, I struggle how to put it into context. Because on the one hand, the Grizzlies were the one of three remaining teams that had not had a three-game losing streak. Okay, that no longer exists. I also kind of think this is a lot like a baseball team in August where you still got games to play, but everybody's not exactly like happy to be there, and you're just kind of playing it out, trying to get to the playoffs. So I've kind of struggled with whether I should smash the panic button or whether I should just kind of, it's an 82-game season. Everyone kind of goes through a stretch like this.
I think I'm closer to the former than the latter, but because there's not a lot of, well, the injuries, the one reason.
Sure.
And there's not a lot of landings. There's not a lot of, you know, and so whatever. Like if with these 2 weeks of missing Jaren, let's just say it's 2 weeks, you fall into fifth place, I think that's a problem. You know, I think it's a problem. Doesn't mean you couldn't win a series against Houston if you open on the road in Houston, but this is not what anyone thought would happen when they were rolling along second in the West. You didn't think they'd be fifth. You didn't think they'd be opening their playoff series on the road. At least I didn't. You might have. Because you are.
No, I thought the floor was 4.
Yeah, so I consider it a real problem. And right now, the issue is, if they were healthy, you could say, you know what? Everyone goes through a stretch. They'll buckle up and snap out of it. They're not going to snap out of it without Jaren. We're going to see. This next 2 weeks could be further important part of his all NBA campaign and his defensive player of the year campaign, because we will see what they look like without him.
I guess my response to that would be, if you believe that their current form is what they are, then yes, I agree with you. But what I believe is that their current form is the worst they've played all year.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what their current form is. Their current form, they don't have John, they don't have Jaren. What is their current form?
Well, Ja's questionable.
Yeah, Ja is even, that's the other
thing. Had you seen deltoid contusion before? That was a new one for me.
You know what I want to talk about? The main thing I wanted to talk about, and this could spill over a little into some of John's time, because we've got the Tigers.
Josh Allen's holding deal?
No, we got the Tigers. Who won the championship, and we'll talk about that with John Moore. We got the Grizzlies and their current little dire circumstances that I consider more dire than you do, evidently, but there we are. And then we had the unveiling of the Tony Allen film last night it was downtown. And it was fabulous. It was so great. You can see it on YouTube tomorrow. It's going to be open for everyone to see on YouTube tomorrow. It's a long film. It's an hour and a half.
They've all been around 90
minutes. This is not a 22-minute recitation of this. Michael Blevins and his team did an incredible job. And it is both a wonderfully entertaining walk down memory lane, and what a glorious lane it was. It's also really revealing of Tony Allen. And there are multiple times when I think you will either laugh out loud or tear up. It's just great. And some of the things, for example, some of the things, this will not spoil any of it. But some of the things you learn about is that they go back to Chicago, where he grew up. And his youth, man, like at one point, his dad, who was in prison, in and out of prison, he talked about taking collect calls from his, he hears about all these dads who set, have their kids in AAU game programs and whatever else. His dad was like a collect call from prison. But one day his dad showed up and gave him a $100 bill. And he immediately took it down to the corner store and got 100 ones. Why? Because he was shooting dice. And that's what he basically did for several years when he was 12, 13, 14. He would even go to school, but then he wouldn't go to class, and he'd be just shooting dice. And he fell hopelessly, hopelessly far behind. He just did not go to class. He then talked about becoming a drug dealer after shooting dice. His mom she worked, and she went to school. So she'd be home at whatever, 10, 11 o'clock at night, because she went to – and so – He's a drug dealer, and he's got $800-$900 in his pocket. One day, and he walks us down this alley where it happened. Guy comes, got a gun, starts shooting at him, and that is the moment when he said, "This is not for me. I want to do something else." And do you remember Will Bynum, the basketball player? Will Bynum was a really good college basketball player.
Yeah.
He's from the same part of Chicago. And he bumped into him, and he got him enrolled in this high school, but was starting like from he had no credits. He had no and even at the end of his high school career, he wasn't recruited by anybody. His coach said, "I think we can maybe get you into a prep school." And he said, "I don't want to go to school. I wanted to go to college." He said he erupted at the coach because he just knew you were supposed to go to a college. And he ended up going to one prep school, was kicked out of that prep school, went to another prep school. Then he goes to Oklahoma State. First week at Oklahoma State, he's arrested for being in a fight at a Whataburger.
There we go.
I mean, it was rough. And he told the story with such humility and humor. Tony is hilarious. He, and at the, in some ways, when he was playing for the Grizzlies, it felt like he was unintentionally hilarious, right? Here, throughout the film, and then afterwards in the Q&A section that they did, which Jessica did a great job of moderating, he was just intentionally hilarious. He is hilarious and was just great talking about this trip. And there were a lot of things. At one point, he shot himself in the foot. I didn't know that. Maybe I should have known that. At one point when he was a little kid, he shot himself in the foot. He had a gun. There was a gun. He's like, bam, shoots him. It shows us the scar. Went in one side of his foot, came out another side of his foot. And the key, one of the heroes who emerges of the story is former Memphis Tiger assistant Glenn Ciprian, who really is the guy who got him into Oklahoma State, who kept him into Oklahoma State, who got the call from the jail when he was arrested at Oklahoma State and told him he was going to stay there for a while. And like time after time after time, he's here in another moment, because Tony, after he wins the title as a modest role player for the Celtics, is offered a cheap deal by Danny Ainge, and he wants to take it anyway. It's what he knows. He likes the guys. They're championship team. You know, it's Kevin Garnett, and it's Paul Pierce, and it's like Ray Allen, and it's that group. And he didn't want to leave. He likes Boston. He just won a title. And the Grizzlies are offering him a much bigger deal. And Sip basically calls and says to him, you got to take it. Tony, you are taking this. You are taking this deal. And it is interesting because the Celtics, coaches, and players are all on camera and they're all saying this was ridiculous. We should have paid him.
Yeah.
What's funny is Danny Ainge is trying to rationalize. He's also on camera. And Danny's like, well, you know, I think Tony really wanted to go to Memphis because he really wanted to have his own show. It's very clear that Tony just, Danny Ainge bargain-based him, and his players are mad. Kevin Garnett even says, that's when we learned we didn't have as much power as we thought we did, when we all went to bat trying to keep Tony. So he comes to Memphis.
It's interesting to think, would that have been the same this year, like in this day and age?
Well, I think for a bit player, if the equivalent of Kevin Garnett had gone, yes, I think maybe you get who you want next day. He comes to Memphis, and, you know, as people may have forgotten, like Lionel, who was there last night, Lionel's another great Memphian. It warms my heart, honestly, that, like, Lionel has, after getting, you know, not re-upped in Memphis and coaching other places, that he's a Memphian, and he's here, and he's dug in, and he was there last night. He had his... sitting in the, you know, and watching it all unfold. But Lionel didn't play him at the beginning. He was collecting dust. And then there was a Clippers game where he started to play him. And then they go into great depth on the game at Oklahoma City. Tony had no idea that Rudy Gay wasn't going to play in that game. And so Tony, who was a maniac about film, hadn't studied Kevin Durant in that game. Before that game, he's like, what? I'm guarding him tonight. And of course that was the game, when they, when Grit and Grind was born. And that was wonderful, to see. It is a love letter to Memphis and to those Grizzlies and to Tony Allen and to what you can become in the city and the way you can be embraced in this city. It's hilarious. It's incredibly touching. It also doesn't shy away from the hard stuff. Like Penny, I mean, he was supposed to be honored and have his number retired long ago, right? But then he got caught up in this medical scam.
Yep.
And so it was postponed. And you sort of wondered, what are they going to do with that, right? Are they going to even address it? Like, it was absolutely addressed. He's let go by the Grizzlies. He ends up with the Pelicans. Then he goes to Chicago, I think. Then he's released, and he's kind of lost. And he gets caught up in this insurance fraud thing. And it's a part of the story. It's a part of the story, just like shooting himself in the foot. This time, metaphorically, it's part of the story. And they talked about the struggle, and another hero who emerges in this film is Derrick Rose. It turns out that Derrick Rose's best friend, he knew Tony from the projects, right, where they grew up. And Derrick Rose grew up, like, idolizing Tony Allen, which Tony wasn't even aware of particularly.
No, but you see that in neighborhoods when the guy that's, like, maybe 3 or 4 years older.
And what Derrick Rose talked about was how he really particularly admired how Tony took care of his family. And took care of Tony's family. And but there's this great moment. So Tony's in trouble and he's being sentenced. And there's this great moment when you see all these letters pouring in from the people who Tony played with, letters of support. And they're just going through the stacks of letters coming in support of Tony. But one of the moments that really got me was Tony's in court and he said, you know, you're in court and it's just, now all of a sudden I'm, where is everybody? You know, like where's all the people who I've known all. And he said, he looked over his shoulder, he looked in the back of the courtroom and who was there? Derrick Rose. He said, I wanted to cry. It was just really incredibly sweet. The other thing that's amazing about this film was how many ridiculously great Hall of Famers are on camera in this film. I mean, Chris Harrington, of course, also on camera in this film. But Michael Blevins talked about this. You'd ask him, hey, would you be willing to do this documentary on Tony Allen? And they all said yes. They all said yes. He said, we started stacking players. So a Dame is on it. Steph is on it. KD is on it. Clay is on it. CJ McCollum is there. Pierce is there. D Rose is there. I mean, it's one Hall of Famer after another. And that is totally a sign of their respect for Tony Allen. It is absolutely a sign of their respect for Tony Allen that they all said, absolutely, we want to be on this film, this tribute to Tony Allen. So I cannot recommend it more highly when it comes out Thursday. Again, you can see it on their YouTube channel. So I don't know what's going to happen in tonight's game. You know what, Jeffrey? It was against Oklahoma City when an unlikely hero emerged. The Memphis Grizzlies beset by injury. What happened? Tony gets the start. History is made. Could we be seeing a... No, who am I kidding? Who am I kidding? I do like seeing people be happy, and it was just the best last night. It was great. Tip of the cap to Michael Blevins, to his whole team who do it, to the Grizzlies for making it happen, honestly. Al Gossett sponsored the thing, and so good for Al Gossett. But if you enjoyed that era, and I don't know any Memphian who was alive who didn't, if you enjoyed that era, you will really enjoy this film by the team. And there's a lot more in there that I didn't get into. Was the fact that Tony had a bear shaved into the back of his head during the 2011 playoff series,
yes,
was that well known? Did we know that? It's hilarious because there's a photo.
I don't remember it being made a big deal, but I think we all know.
I think he shaved it off before anyone could see it. And it is a part of the film. And it is just unbelievable. So anyway, truly great. And I teared up. Oh, here's another really good part. Afterwards in the panel discussion, again, Jessica Benson was the moderator. And Zeebo was up there, and Tony, and Vernon, and Blevins. And at one point, Tony's, he's got a little bit of a tear. His son walks up and hands him a growl towel.
Oof.
How great is that? How great is that?
Hands him. I'm assuming Waterworks City.
Yeah, yeah. No, just because you're yeah. What a perfect way to dry away tears that are caused by memories of that era.
As long as it wasn't a next gen.
Than with a growl towel. It was great. So anyway. All right, we got John Martin coming up next. Then we got Chris Harrington. Again, we don't have Sam Hardiman today, but we got so much sports to talk about. That's fine. We're going to have Sam later on in the week. If you have memories of that grit grind era, maybe you got maybe you got a bunch of growl towels that have been sitting around and you want them framed. The Frame Corner would be the place to take them. 5035 Park Avenue. We were in there ourselves just last week because Claire had a couple prints that mean a whole lot to her. And listen, if you just have whatever, some photo you'd want to slap in a frame, that's great. You know, that's great. You can go in and buy a frame, whatever else. But if you have something that means something to you, you want it framed professionally by people who do this for a living, who specialize in custom framing. They do a magnificent job at Frame Corner. They will turn the collection of stuff that you bring in there or the print that you care so much about because it's from your family or whatever it is into something lasting and beautiful. Frame Corner Memphis, 5035 Park Avenue, framecornermemphis.com. John Martin joins us on the other side. Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey. I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show, joined now by John Martin, Jason and John, every single day from 11 to 2. K Occasionally, I join them, and they yell at me when I'm on their show now. That's what's happened the last 2 weeks, John. We've had basically fistfights on your show. I hope this can be a little more civil and not quite like the State of the Union last night.
Yeah, listen, I enjoy beating up on old people.
That's clearly right. Clearly right. And this time you got Jason to join in. This time it was 2-1. You know, normally,
yeah, exactly. last week
you needed the reinforcements.
Yeah, because
didn't
you know what,
I was crushing you last week, and this week you're like, I better get Jason here. He'll probably help me out.
Yeah, that's how it happens in Memphis. You get jumped. You got jumped.
I got jumped. I was walking. Here's what actually happened. I was at Otherlands Coffee Shop when I went to talk to you. And the issue was, and honestly, the Grizzlies have spiraled since this conversation, but the issue was, should you be happy that you have a good Grizzlies team, or you should be miserable about the fact that they're not better than they are, right? Really, that was it. That was it, right? That was the essence of it. And we were yelling at each other about this, and I was walking up and down on the street outside Otherlands Coffee Shop, and I went back in afterwards, and this time I was a little bit, man, I got jumped. And about 10 minutes later, this woman comes up to me and says, sir, we closed at 2. Unbeknownst to me, everyone in the whole place had gotten up and left while I was working on my laptop. Everyone else, I was the only person the store had closed. Well, it doesn't normally close at 2. Staff hadn't come in. The next shift hadn't come in or something. They'd probably been laid off by Doge. And so I was sitting there by myself. And that's how off my game you got me yesterday.
You were
Jeff.
So flustered.
I was so I think what happened was they announced that they were closing while I was outside walking up and down, and I didn't notice it. But then I should have noticed everyone getting up and leaving. But there you go. Okay, you wrote a column in the Daily Memphian today celebrating Penny Hardaway. And to continue the celebration, it's amazing, John. Now that you've become nothing but a guy who applauds Penny Hardaway, he's a regular on your show. It's amazing how it. You know what? It's great how it works. This is how it works.
We play, man.
It's the and so let's be honest. It's also a reason to applaud Penny Hardaway this year that has not existed before because they're awesome, right? I mean, it's not some. When is he going to be on though? Just so people know,
He'll be on at first hour 11:25.
Penny will be on in the first hour at 11:25, and I'll ask you, John, because you wrote a column about this. The significance of this, we'll get to in a moment. But when's the moment to celebrate? Was it Sunday when they beat UAB and we kind of knew they were going to be conference champion? Was it last night when they clinched a share of the conference championship? Or will it be Friday, if and when they win it outright in front of their home crowd, when it's done, alone, undisputed, regular season conference champion? When is the moment to celebrate this?
I mean, I think right now is, I mean, obviously, yes, you prefer to be, if you can, outright champs, but let's just be honest about it. I mean, you beat North Texas in the only game you play. You're the AAC champion. So although technically they can share it with you, to me, I mean, you're the regular season champ. You've done it for the first time ever. You clinched it last night. And so, look, we'll do the red tape on Friday, but you know, I as I wrote, as you saw, like to me last night was like, we got it done. I mean, and in the locker room after the game, they felt the same way. I mean, Penny Hardaway said, we're champs. It's the first time we've been champs in 7 years. So they feel like last night was the night.
I actually think it's, and maybe this is cheating. I think it's kind of like a three-course meal, you know, like they celebrated UAB in a big way, right? They celebrated UAB in a big way with a showering Penny with water and stuff like that. And then they celebrated again last night saying we're the champs. And then it'll be fitting that if they do, you know, if they can finish this off, it'll be at home, senior day, all of that, senior night, whatever, when they can actually put a exclamation point on what has been Penny's, and I don't think there's any dispute about this, most important season, right? I mean, I don't think there's any question. Most important season. First, real question. Why are they only playing North Texas once?
Yeah, I you know, if I was a North Texas fan, I'd be really upset about that. Just because, like, it's really not like North Texas came out of nowhere. It's not like they were, you know, picked 10th in the league. You know, if I'm a schedule maker in the AAC, like I know, okay, who are my best teams year to year? Well, I got Memphis, I got North Texas, I got UAB. Like those are the, you know, those are the teams that typically are in the mix. They're in the top four every single year. So like those teams should be playing twice a year, just automatically. And for whatever reason, you know, that did not happen this year for Memphis and for North Texas. So Memphis catches a break because North Texas is a damn good team, man. They really are. And that would be a very difficult game to win in Denton. But on the other hand, North Texas kind of gets screwed here a little bit. And I'll say this, like, good. It's about time Memphis caught a break in this damn league, right? I mean, honestly, that's how I feel about it. So it's about time that the league did Memphis a favor. And make no mistake, they did by not making them return that game.
Yeah. Okay. You in your column harken back to that fateful day. You looked at the day. It was early September. Is that what it was? Early September.
It was literally 6 months ago to the day yesterday.
When Penny canned the staff, four members of his staff.
I mean, basically his whole staff.
It was a hell of a day, man. I remember in the wake of it, like, Ed Scott was supposed to be in here, like, the next day talking to us, and I thought he was going to cancel, and he didn't. He stood behind Penny, and he came in here, and he didn't cancel. But at that moment, do you recall what you were thinking? I mean, it's true, like, they were there. That was like, this is the beginning of the end. That's what the stories were across the country. You know, this is, everyone's tired of it, right? Everyone's tired of it. There's too much drama. Every turn, whatever. It did not feel like we would be on that day. It did not feel like we would be here.
No, it did not. And, you know, yeah, I remember what I was thinking, because not only did Penny Hardaway, wipe out his whole staff. The next day, don't forget, that anonymous letter
dropped,
came across Ed Scott's desk. And then, you know, don't forget, like shortly after, I didn't even mention this, but like shortly after that, remember the whole Tyreek Smith stuff, you know, that was going on in the preseason.
Yeah.
So you just had a ton of drama and a ton of like, and yeah, I mean, GP up at CBSSports.com, I'm not calling him out. I just saw the column. Like, he wrote and asked, is this the end of the road for Penny? Is anybody enjoying this anymore? And then in that time, that was a very reasonable thing to ask. It was a very reasonable column. I'm not bringing that up to say, ha, how dumb you are. We all felt that. But what we couldn't have anticipated is that it really was a move that enabled Penny to be his best self. I thought this was a sign of a coach that was, you know, paranoid or, you know, losing his grip or, you know, desperation move here. Like, what's going on? But what it really was a coach saying, listen, I got to get a new group in here that I really feel supported by, that I trust. And he did that. And he brought in some good hires, you know, Nolan Smith, good hire. Mike Davis, good hire. They've all been really good for him, and brought back Jermaine Johnson. So, you know, that's that. You had to trust Penny. And obviously with the culmination of last night, he showed that patience is paying off.
What do you think what's the biggest reason that this year turned out differently than all the others?
Well, I think Penny's a big part of it. I think his humility publicly, like, you know, and that's probably a reflection of how he truly feels. You know, I think he finally, you know, as this season began, and, you know, I give Ed Scott and Tim Duncan some credit on this, because I'm sure they were instrumental in it. But, you know, Penny, for the first time that I could ever remember, was like, yo, I fell short. I failed. I, you know, there were things that I had to learn, and it was just a different version of him that we really had never heard. Like, he had been.
It's interesting that I agree with it. That partly matters, though, if it's also accompanied by,
of course,
the change internally that, like, yes. In other words, if you just say, oh, I screwed up, it's on me, whatever else,
yes.
And then you run the program the exact same way. So it's got to be legit humility that we're seeing it reflected in public comments, but presumably internally, it is being reflected in different ways of doing things, right? Don't you imagine?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. I mean, that's what I was going to say. I, you know, there's no other way. I think, you know, also the group is better that he recruited. It just is. The group is more cohesive. I think probably one of the more underrated pieces of this team is Tyrese Hunter's leadership. Like, he is just not a guy, like, he doesn't care if he has 8 points like he did last night. Like, it's not gonna ruin his day. He's fine. Like, he's just I think that having that veteran presence who's also happy to, he can take over games like we saw in Maui, and he can take a back seat. But he's going to make the winning plays. And I think having a guy like him as one of your best players is, you know, pretty indicative, you know, of why this team has been different. You didn't have that guy last year, right? David Jones, you had Javon Quinterly, those guys.
Well,
those
that's what's interesting about that, though, is then, because I do think one of the, like, maybe it's underrated, the roster's better, right? The roster's, it's not just better, it's more cohesive, it fits, it's more logical, et cetera, right? And what's interesting is that in assembling that roster, a bunch of the guys who were fired were presumably a part of that, right? Don't you imagine? Like, this is also a Stansberry roster.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, that was kind of the controversy, right? Like, Rick was, you know, in charge of, you know, at least helping recruit a lot of these guys. So, you know, that was the part of it, like,
interesting, because the roster is clearly the way the – I mean, you look at them, and they're just – P.J. Haggerty's great. Tyrese Hunter, as you say, is a total pro. Dane Danger, they hit on, obviously. Yep. Now, Penny deployed him, brought him along. A lot of these guys, which you've heard all season long, is you're now with Penny, you're getting the best version of them that they've ever been, right? Like, P.J. Haggerty was really good last year, even better this year. Dane Danger has been sporadically good in previous stops, nothing like he's been under Penny. So it's getting the players.
I mean, Musa, yeah, you know?
Yeah.
Even Musa. I mean, like, I think that's a microcosm of how this thing is different. You know, I remember last year when they brought in Naquan Tomlin in December, it was like a nuke went off in that building. And they just never recovered from that. You know, Musa starts for 20 games and then prior to the UAB game gets sent to the bench. And does he pout about it? Does he get in his feelings about it? No, like, he's been just as good as he was as a starter, and he's helping the team, you know, and he was huge against UAB defensively in the second game. So I think that's the difference, man, is just you got a team that really has come together and that really trusts Penny, and it's going to be fun, you know, to see what they can get out of this year, because I'm really back to believing that, you know, they can do something for sure.
In bracketology today, Lenardi has them as a 7 playing Baylor and then playing Alabama.
That's, you know, I mean, I think they'd be favored pretty good against Baylor. That's Dane's former team. Baylor's really small. I think Memphis would win that matchup. I would probably bet Memphis in that matchup. And then, you know, Bama, we saw. I mean, they played them to an 8-point game. I think those two are kind of like, you know, mirror images of each other. They're both, like, very comfortable when the game is completely stupid. And so I think that's what it would be. Like, it would be a game
that has a total of
200.
You obviously do the stuff for Field of 68. We the theme in Memphis is they are getting screwed by the net. They're getting screwed by the fact that these internal ratings and whatever matter more than W's and L's and who you've beaten in quad one and whatever else, right? I'm interested, because you do deal with folks on the national level. Is there any sense of that? Or is that just a Memphis? Is there any recognition beyond the boundaries of Memphis, Tennessee, that this is kind of weird that they are, given their record in quad one and quad two, that they are that their seating is what it is?
No, not at all. Like, the national media thinks Memphis is rated appropriately, from the people that I talk to. And basically what they say, and the reason that they say it is because they just are always in games like last night. Like, even though they win, you know, they always are.
It's just to me, it's a BS. It's total BS. It's one else has to play a relentless stream of mediocrity. And I go back to what I've said all along. Human nature does not create the incentive to eviscerate mediocrity. When they play really good teams, we've seen what they are. Other in these crappy games, they just do what it takes, and that's it.
That's
but
right.
It doesn't.
And by the way, it's the worst. It's the worst kind of mediocrity, because it's not like the West Coast Conference where it's like bottom 200s and 300s, right? It's like 145. You know, it's like they're like just good enough to beat you and hang around. You know, like that's the difference between Memphis and St. Mary's. To me, is like, yeah, St. Mary's like beat a bunch of teams by 40, but they're playing, you know, Pepperdine. They're playing, you know, Portland. I mean, just the absolute dread. Like, you were talking about the worst of the worst. That's what they're playing, other than Gonzaga. Memphis is playing like plucky teams.
What strikes me is that I do hear that from some of the loudest complainers about Memphis's, the way Memphis is being treated, right, because of their crappy conference, are some of the people who did not share your urgency to get out of the conference back when we talked about it this summer, you know, whereas your urgency, well, I mean, came,
we talk about it every day.
Your urgency came summer. Your urgency came from the fact that you saw this coming, right? I mean, that's why when we were talking about the pack, you were way out on that side of it. Just get the hell out of here side of it, because you saw this coming. And it is interesting. A lot of the people, and again, I'm not ripping Memphis for that decision. I don't have all the internal numbers, whatever else. But a lot of the people who defended that decision are now living with the consequences, right? I mean, what we've seen is these consequences every single day in the seedings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, and like the whole mandate was, you never even won your league. Well, okay, now they have. So now what?
What do you see as the seed ceiling?
I think six is definitely the ceiling, even though I think, you know, their body of work is far better than that. It's just, this is the way it is, because, you know, the committee with their bracket reveal kind of told you how they felt about Memphis. They were not in the top 18, and that's before they lost to Wichita State. So you're not there. Like, you can't, you know, if you've lost, you can't make that ground up. You were in the top 18, which would have put you at the first two fives. You know, you just can't make that ground up. You know, I don't think they've really damaged themselves that much, but, you know, I think they're kind of stuck. Like, they're
nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up. You must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Omisid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Omisid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at omised.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, hootball,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.